the rest of us in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 13. It's important that when you come to church, you bring your Bible. And it's important that when we have the time, when it's time for the preaching, that you have your Bible open. Because here's why. Because when we study the Bible, it's not coming from me, really. The message is coming from God. It's coming from His Word. And I want you to be able to follow along in the Word so you know what I'm saying is what He said. That the message that I'm delivering to you is a message that's coming from the Word of God, and it's directly from Him to you. And I'm just the messenger. I'm just giving you what He said. And so you need to follow along as we read these scriptures together, as we study the Bible together, that you might understand that while we're doing this, we're not doing, or rather preaching a message that's been watered down, that's lost its potency, that it's lost its effectiveness because we haven't declared it straight. We haven't given it accurately. We've missed some important aspects to it, you know. And I want you to be able to do that. It's important that you do that because God is against ministries when the Bible teaching and the Bible preaching is watered down. We read verse 8 together. Let's take a look at it again. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies. He's talking about these ministries that aren't preaching it straight. They're not giving it straight. They're skirting around things. They're not giving the Word of God, declaring it just how it says it. What does he say? He says, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord. Watering down preaching produces watered down ministries. And God is against them. We need our thinking to be wrapped around this idea that God is against watered down preaching. God is against watered down ministries. Before we move forward and press on for the message that God has for us this morning, we have to understand there are some things in ministry, if we're not doing it right, God's against it. And we can't be blessed by God if we're not doing it His way. Isn't that right? And I don't want God to be against our ministry. I love this church and I love you and I'm thankful for what God has done and what He's doing. But I'm looking at the future. I'm looking at pressing on. I'm talking about doing what God wants us to do and seeing more and more people saved and baptized and pressing on in their walk with God and growing and getting stronger. But to do that, we have to do it His way. We can't water it down. And it all points back, listen to this, it all points back to the preaching. It all points back to the declaration of the Word of God. We got to get it right. We got to do it right. Yeah. Preaching's a big deal at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Matter of fact, it's all about the preaching here. I mean, we're gonna have music. We're going to sing. We're going to praise God. We're going to have congregation. We're going to have fellowship. All of those things are important dynamics to the ministry of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. But it is all to be pointed to the delivery and the reception of the Word of God. We want to be sure that we get it right. There was some kids that here in Fall City were selling lemonade. They had a lemonade stand in their yard. And so we were excited about that. I mean, my kids have done lemonade stands, and so we like to support, you know, the businesses of Fall City. So we went to this lemonade stand, and it was hot outside, and a cool glass of lemonade sounded good to me. So we went over there, and you know, they had a little sign out there with the lemonade on the table with some cups. And I thought, all right, this is going to be good. So I paid the money and almost felt it. When I gave him the cash, I felt like he was maybe started laughing a little bit. So I gave him the money. He poured me the cup and then I took a drink. It had no sugar in it. And it was barely a lemon taste, but it was just enough of that lemon taste to give you that bitter, you know, the lemon bitter taste with no sugar. I mean, lemonade without sugar is not good. You know, that's what mom gives you whenever you're not feeling good, you know. So I felt like I got ripped off a little bit. I was thinking, these kids, you know, they gave me this lemonade. They didn't put any sugar in it. I almost wanted to ask for my money back, you know. Come on. He was like, he's 9, though, and I didn't want to hurt his feelings. But, and I'm teasing about that. But it was watered down lemonade. It wasn't good. And sometimes ministries are watered down, aren't they? They're not given to you straight. I mean, we're adding other components and elements to this thing called ministry. And from the outside, you look at the ministry and it looks good. I mean, it has all the elements of what a good cup of church is supposed to be. And so you go there and you're going to get involved. You're going to get, you know, moving forward with this ministry that everything looks good. But then when you get in there, what do you find out? It's missing something. There's some dynamics to this ministry that's not right. And the more you taste of it, the more feel you get of what is really happening in this particular ministry, where everything looks exciting, everything looks, from the outside, it looks like it's working, and we get involved with it, we find out that there is something that's really wrong with it. It's missing substance. It's not giving you anything substantial. Like, yeah, there might be exciting things happening, but where's the substance of the Word of God? Where's the deep teaching of God's truths? Where is the Word of God as it penetrates deep into my being? Where is that? And it's missing. And all that excitement begins to wear off after a period of time. And what are you left with? Well, more than likely a bitter taste. Nothing substantial. Why does that happen? Watered down ministries are produced by watered down preaching and teaching of the Bible. You need to get that every time. These ministries give you the Bible, but here's what it's missing. Real substance of the text or context. Real teaching of the Bible. It's missing it. We might learn religious stuff. We might learn some of the rigmarole of particular religious ceremony or traditions. But the substance of the Word of God, it's missing. Learning these things doesn't give us what we need. And so Ezekiel is dealing with this exact issue in chapter 13. He is dealing with wrong messages that have been delivered, watered down messages. And so as we get into this message, you know, it's kind of hard to dive into the middle of a book whenever we've not been studying through a book like Ezekiel. And so as maybe a fundamental or a laying some groundwork about the book of Ezekiel, I think we should note a few things. Ezekiel is in a ministry that is delivering a message to the children of Israel that really what we would say isn't a too exciting of a message. You're going to go into bondage. Now, his ministry and his message, even what we're going to be talking about today, it overlaps the ministry of Jeremiah. So those of you who were here last week and you heard us in the message from Jeremiah, you're going to notice, hopefully, you're going to notice some of the messages sound similar. And the reason why is because their ministries overlapped. Ezekiel and Jeremiah ministered during some of the same time period, giving and delivering the same type of message to the children of Israel. And he is here delivering this message, Ezekiel is delivering this message to the children of Israel because they are to be judged for their disobedience. And there's a message right there for you and me. That judgment always comes for those who are disobedient to God and His Word. It's always there. And it's a warning, it's a stark warning for us that we would understand if we live in disobedience to God, then there will be a sure following of judgment to go along with that. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be involved with the things I want to be involved with. Time out. That's not a good way to operate. It's not a good way to go forward. Matter of fact, if you were paying attention during or understood, recognized, that's what I'm looking for, in Ezekiel chapter 1 through 8, rather verses 1 through 8 that we read just a little while ago, you'll see that these false teachers and false prophets, they were delivering messages from their own heart. And when you're following your own heart, it's going to lead you down a wrong path every single time. God warns us about that over and over and over. We're not going to find our own path to heaven. We're not going to find our own path to God. We're not going to do it our way and expect to get God's result. No, we're going to get God's result. We're going to do it God's way and no other way. And we got to get that. If we decide we're going to do it our way, we're going to go our way, we're going to find God's path, and we're going to do it our own way, you're in big trouble. You're going to find judgment at the end of that path. And that's the warning Ezekiel has. So, you know, I mean, when you're a pastor or a messenger or a preacher or a prophet in the Old Testament, and your message is to a rebellious people who have no desire for God, they're running from God, they're doing it their own way, and you're telling them they're going to be judged, not always are you the most popular guy on the block. You know, you're going to be pretty much hated and disliked and often reproved by those who don't like your message. You know, we want a better message. We want an easier message. We want a more palatable message. We want something that makes us feel a little bit better about things. Hey, give us a message that, you know, isn't so negative. Come on, preacher, why you gotta be negative all the time? Give us a message that's not so negative. And so there was a hunger for that. Because the prophet of God, the man of God, it seemed like he'd get up there and he'd thunder, he'd preach, he'd give the word of God, and it was always sort of this like message of judgment. Well, man, I don't like that message. You know why you don't like a message? Because you are being disobedient. Whenever there's a, hey, listen, I talk to my kids, I say, hey, listen, there is correction associated with disobedience to your mom and dad. Sorry. And they're like, raise your hand if you like, if you're thankful for correction. If you're thankful for correction. There's no hands being raised. My kids don't raise their hand during that session. No. They don't like it. But we should like it. The reason why we don't like, you know why we don't like correction? Because we don't do right. We sin, we blow it, we disobey. Yeah, we're not going to like correction if we're blowing it all the time, right? So here's the point. And by the way, we should love correction, because think of where we would be if we didn't have God's word. And without God's correction, we'd be hopelessly lost, driving ourselves off of the cliff of destruction, if you would. And that's what we're destined to do to ourselves. But Ezekiel, a man of God, the prophet of God, hallelujah for the man Ezekiel, giving the word of God and preaching it straight. But there was a hunger for an easier message. Don't preach it so hard, preacher. Give us something that's a little more palatable, because there was a hunger. Guess who came up on the scene? Hey, if there's a hunger for an easier message, I want you to know there's going to be a guy who's going to give you the easier message. He's not going to preach it to you straight. He's going to tell you what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. And that's what happened in Ezekiel. It's not any different today, but that's what he's dealing with. And by the way, man, I'm telling you, he's hard on the children of Israel, but listen to what he says to these preachers who aren't doing it right and building ministries and they're doing it wrong. I mean, you can't get any more straightforward than this. God is against you, and he's so against you, I'm not going to get close to you, because I'm waiting for lightning to strike you. I'm not going to even get close to you. We're just going to do an air high five. We're not even going to high five, because I'm not for you either. If God's against you, I'm against you. But the reality is this is not an exciting message. And man, I can almost feel the fire, can't you? The heat. I mean, he is hot about this false, wrong message being delivered by these prophets that are just trying to make it palatable and nice and good. Give us a message of peace. There's no peace, but give us a message of peace, preacher. Yeah, that's what they were doing. Now, we're going to preach chapter 13 today. We're going to run up to it, though, okay? Remember, we haven't been in Ezekiel, so we're going to run up to chapter 13 so we can kind of get an understanding of what's going on here. Go to chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Look what it says. He says, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto me, this is Ezekiel saying, listen to what it says, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Two times he said they're rebellious. This is the children of Israel. This isn't the false preachers. This is the rebellion of mankind. This is that we want a message that's easier and more palatable for us, please. But they're rebellious. Well, what does it mean they had eyes to see, but they didn't see? It's that, here's what it means. They had eyes to see, but they chose not to see. It means they had eyes to know God, but they chose not to listen. Ears to hear, but they wouldn't hear. They didn't want to hear. They didn't like the message. They weren't interested in hearing the message straight. They wanted to hear a message of peace. But they're rebellious. And by the way, what's this movement, listen, this movement of hearing and preaching and the ministries that are out there that aren't given the full revelation, aren't preaching the whole word of God, or just making it palatable and nice and putting flowers on it. Hey, listen, this is born out of a rebellious spirit. That's what he's saying. Because they don't have eyes to see the true message. They don't have ears to hear the true word of God. I'm getting excited up here. Ezekiel had given a two-part sign in chapter 12. So he is, I mean, it's amazing. Jeremiah did these signs, outward things. Ezekiel did all kinds of strange outward things to show you know, God's message. I'm glad God, I guess, I don't know, I do some pretty strange things up here sometimes. But so in order to show or demonstrate the message that God is going to bring judgment to the children of Israel, and really to this whole dynamic of the false message and desire for peace and all that, God wanted him to act out the message, but without speaking a word. So he starts acting out, but he doesn't say anything. And what he's acting out, the children of Israel start watching, and they're paying attention because he did this for multiple days, and they're watching, and they're like, what's the man of God doing? What's the prophet doing? And so finally they come and ask him, what is it that you're doing, Ezekiel? I mean, tell us what the message is. And he begins to tell them the message is about their exile. It's about the king Zedekiah and the exile that's to come. And so he's graphically showing that they're going to be, overtaken by the Babylonians, and they're going to go in exile. The second part of this is regarding King Zedekiah's desire to escape. Hey, if you knew that Babylonia is going to come and seize control of your kingdom, and you know there's potential for you to go into captivity, then what is it that you would like to try to maybe do? Escape, right? Get out of town and escape? Well, God warned him not to do that. Zedekiah, don't try to escape, but he didn't listen. Look at verse 12 of chapter 12. The prince, and by the way, this is part of the vision. It hadn't happened yet, but this is part of the vision. That the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulders in the twilight and shall go forth. Here's what he's meaning. Zedekiah is going to try to flee in disobedience to God. He's going to try to flee. Well, what's going to happen? Look at verse 12 again. And they shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. They're going to try to escape. And he shall cover his face that he shall not see the ground with his eyes. So in other words, Zedekiah is going to get carried out and he's not going to see the event. Why, preacher? Why is Zedekiah not going to see this whole event of the exile where the children of Israel, the king, is going to be removed from Israel, taken to Babylon? He's not going to see it. He's going to experience it but not see it. Why? Here's why. Because whenever he tries to escape, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, chases him down, retrieves him and brings him back, makes him watch his children killed in front of his eyes. And the king of Babylon kills all of his kids right in his eyes. And then after he killed all of his children, he plucked his eyes out. Took him to Babylon. And this happened. And God told us that this would happen if he tried to escape. He disobeyed God. And it happened just like God warned him. So don't turn there. But here's what 2 Kings chapter 25 verse 7. This is when it happened. Listen to what it says. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. And put out his eyes, the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him in fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. So that's the first part of the vision and the message of Ezekiel in chapter 12. It was sort of a commonly understood proverb of the day that was going around. And this leads us into that false teaching and false message that was being delivered in chapter 13 that he deals with. Go to verse 22 of chapter 12. Verse 22, look what it says. The son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel saying? And here's the proverb that was going around in the day. The days are prolonged and every vision faileth. That was the proverb. The days are prolonged and every vision faileth. What's that mean? Well, here's what every vision faileth means. It means that they didn't believe that God's message was true. Oh, that won't happen to us. That's not really true. That was part of the proverb, that every vision faileth. Oh, it's not really going to happen. And then the first part of it, the days were prolonged. What's that mean? It means, well, God's, you know, said there's going to be judgment. First of all, we don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, it's going to be a long time before it happens. The days are prolonged. It's going to be a long time before it happens. And so Ezekiel's warning here to the children of Israel and in chapter 12 is to help them to understand that the message that they're getting from these false prophets is false teaching. Do you know what it is, friends? It's watered down preaching. Watered down. Yeah, they're giving you some of the word of God, but they're not giving it to you straight, you know? And God is going to do away with it. Those type of ministries aren't going to last. They're not going to stand the test of God's time, God's trial. Yeah. It's important that we get a clear message from God. The problem is that there are conflicting messages in religious organizations today. And so you could go into one church and get one message, go into another church. They're both claiming to be preaching the Bible. They're both claiming to be preaching about the same Jesus, but they're not the same message. You can go into one church and they'll say, hey, listen, you want to go to heaven? This is how you do it. You go into another church, you want to go to heaven? This is how you do it. They're not the same. Listen, if you have two conflicting messages, both claiming to be truth, either one of them is wrong or they're both wrong. But they both can't be right. Because there can't be two truths. There's one truth. And so, listen, these ministries that are out there and they're telling you that they're preaching the Bible, but something is wrong when you're not getting the full thing. You're getting watered down preaching. Then here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a watered down ministry. It causes great confusion. That's why things need to be said right. That's why we need to say what God said. We need to say what he said, exactly what he said. We have to taught it the way he taught it. We can't change our methods in delivering God's message. We need to deliver the message exactly the way that God has asked us to deliver his message. Saying what God says implies obedience to God's message. And ministries that are watering it down, the reason why it's watered down is because there's parts of the message they don't want to be obedient to. That's why it's watered down. But we need to say what he said. So why is it so important that we do that? Why is it so important that we preach the Bible? Why is it so important that you hear preaching straight from this book and that the preaching is right and straight? Well, let's see that in chapter 13. God's against these ministries, isn't he? He's against a ministry that isn't preaching it straight. Look at verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. Well, that's a tongue twister, but here's what he's saying. I want you to stand up and preach against those preachers that aren't doing it right. They're not preaching it right. They're not giving it straight. Stand up against them, he says. Verse 2. Look what he says next. And say thou unto the prophecy, to them that prophesy out of their own heart, hear ye the word of the Lord. That's a problem, isn't it? Prophesying out of your own heart. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and that see nothing. Yeah. Watered down preaching, watered down preachers. There's no real interest in the holiness of God. There's no real interest in the truth of God, the holiness of God. That his word is unadulterated and preached straight and right. Look at verse 5. Ye have not gone up into the gaps. Who's he talking to there? Hey, this is the message to those preachers that aren't doing it, aren't preaching it. And the ministries that are developing because of these type of preaching, or because of this type of preaching. Here's what he's saying about these ministries and these preachers. He says, you're not going up into the gaps. You're not doing what you need to do. You're not saving who needs to be saved. Look what he says in verse 5 again. He goes on. He says, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Listen, the day of the Lord's coming. And you know what these ministries aren't doing? They're not preparing people for this day. Yeah, we're going to go to church and we're going to have church and we're going to worship God. But they're not getting the word of God. They're not getting the truth. They're not getting the reality of what God is saying. And because of that, here's what God is saying. He says, because of these ministries, we have people who think they're getting God, but they're not. They're getting a message that is sort of a happy message, but it's not the right message. What we're not doing, he says, in these ministries is we're not preparing people for the day of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We preach the word of God. We preach the gospel. We preach it straight here. Why? Because we're trying to prepare people for that day. The Bible says in James, our life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, it vanishes away. Any of us who has some years on us can attest to the fact that it goes by pretty fast, doesn't it? Seems like yesterday we were a lot younger. And then boom, wow, what happened to me? I'm losing all my hair and something's going gray. And I'm like, oh man, you know, it happens fast. We don't want to go to church to have a man of God tell us the stuff we like to hear. No, no, no. We got to have a man of God to tell us what we need to hear straight from God, from his word. Tell us straight what God wants us to hear, that it might prepare us for that day. Not so that we can feel good about where we are right now. We want to be prepared for that day. And these ministries are not doing that. That's what he's frustrated about. Man, I can feel it. I hope you can. He says, stand in the day of battle. They're not doing this. Look at verse 7. He says, have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it. Here's what they're saying. They're delivering this message, and then they're saying, God did this. God gave this message. God is doing this. You know, look what God is doing. But here's what God says about the whole thing. Albeit, I have not spoken. He says, you're blaming this ministry on me, and here's what God's saying. I didn't do any of this. This came from your heart. This came from your spirit. You did this, and you're saying God's doing it, but I'm not doing it. How do you know the difference? Listen, oh, this is where it gets good. How do you know the difference in a ministry that's doing it right and a ministry that's just fluff and they're not really giving you anything? It's the preaching. The preaching. It always comes back to the preaching. A watered-down ministry comes from watered-down preaching. We're not doing the scriptures right. And what it produces, watered-down ministry. And that's what they had here. And God was against it, man. I mean to tell you what, he is against it. Look at verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, thus saith the Lord. You know what this tells? This does a couple things for us. Number one, it tells us we better not do this. We better not have a ministry that's like that. Amen. Can I get an amen right there? We better not have a ministry like this. God's against this. And number two, you know what it does also for us? And this gives me comfort and peace, that I don't have to fight against it. I don't have to actively go out there and petition against ministries that aren't doing it right. I think God can handle it. Don't you? How about let's just do it right and let God take care of them? That's good enough for me. Yeah. Verse 9, here's what he says. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity. I have a feeling God's hand on them like this isn't a good thing. Don't you get that feeling too? We don't want God's hand on us like that. Yeah. They're divining lies. They're not saying what he said. What are they saying? Verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying what? When there is no peace. So it really is, Pastor, isn't it? It really is ministries out there who tell you there's peace, but there's no peace. Pastor, you mean to tell me there are ministries out there that say they're from God and they're telling you that there's peace, but there's no peace? So they are really lying to you? They're out there? Yeah. That's what Ezekiel is dealing with. Listen, these ministries are designed to tell people what they want to hear. Listen, you get your shovel out and you dig down into the Word of God. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find a lot of warnings. Matter of fact, here, I think Timothy told us it this way, and I might quote this wrong, and maybe you can help me. But it goes, the Word of God has come to us that it might reprove, rebuke, I know instruction in righteousness. Correction, thank you. Reprove, rebuke, correction, instruction in righteousness. I might have those out of order. But reprove, that's not good news. Rebuke, that's not good news. Ask my kids about correction. You guys like it when you get correction? I don't like correction. So reprove, we don't like that. Rebuke, I don't like that either. Correction, I don't much like that one. There's only one of them that's actually exciting. Instruction in righteousness. Ooh, I like that one. But that's one out of four. So there's a 25% chance you're going to get a really positive message when you come to church. I'm teasing about that, okay? I am. But there is a really high chance that God's going to reprove, rebuke, or correct you. Because that is what the Word of God is designed to do. That's what God wants us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to get strong. But they weren't doing that. They were saying, peace, there's no peace. Look at verse 10 again. He says, the next part after that, the peace thing, it says, and one build up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Look at verse 11. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. So here's what's happening. Instead of Israel's attention being of the understanding of this reality, there are serious cracks in the mortar. I mean, there are serious cracks in the foundation. There are serious errors. When we go to look at a house and we're like, man, we're going to buy a house, you know, we're going to buy a house. And there's like a crack from the top all the way down. You know, and you can see it goes all the way down. And then somebody just, you know, who's really good with the plaster, or, you know, and all that stuff, and they just sort of sand it, and they cover it up, and they paint over it, and they stand back, ah, it's all fixed, right? That's what they're doing. Did they really fix it? No. Go down in the basement and look at the foundation. And there's a real problem there, isn't there? And so the children of Israel, here's what these prophets were doing. The message needed to be delivered. You have serious cracks in the mortar. You've got some real problems, and you need to repent and get it right with God. But here's what these false teachers were doing. They were masking it and making it look nice and painting over it, and everything looked great, but there was no real peace there. There's no real correction there. They were just masking over it. Look at verse, let's see, at verse number 11 again. Yes. Say unto them which daubed it with untempered mortar, it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a storming wind shall rend it. So, you know, this whitewashed, flimsy wall that's been covered over, it's not going to last. So what are we doing here? Well, we're exposing that there is a problem here. And it boils down to the reality that they're not getting the message preached to them straight. They're hearing a message from these ministers that there's peace when there's no peace. Yeah. Their message was anti-biblical. So it wasn't just that they weren't getting the Word of God straight. It was anti-biblical too. Look at verse 17. It says, likewise, thou sons of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, again, out of their own heart. Verse 18, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the women that sow. Now watch this. This is like magic charms, okay? This is what they were doing. I'm going to show you where they got this. Thus saith the Lord, woe unto the women which sow pillows with all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the heads of every stature to haunt souls. Will ye haunt the souls of my people? And will ye save the souls of lives that come unto you? So they were using these magic charms to minister. Now get this. Here's what God is saying. Do you think that you can minister to God's people by using these magic charms to do it? You think that I'm in that? You think I'm going to bless that? I'm not behind that. I'm not for that. Where did they get this magic charm thing? They were doing all these things. Where did they get that? They got it from Babylon. This is a Babylonian sort of thing that they're involving themselves with. These enchantments were coming from a source other than God. It has to be the world. So they got all of their methods from the world so that they might minister to God's people. Did you get that? They're getting all of their methods to minister to God's people from the world. And here's what God says. I'm not for this. I'm not in this. I'm nowhere close to this. That's what they were doing, making these sort of magical knots and good luck charms and all of this method, leading people away from God and not to God. What did God look at it as? Look at verse 19. And will ye pollute? I need you to note that word in your mind, please. If you're taking notes, you can mark it. Verse 19. And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for a piece of bread? They're polluting God. Polluting God. Making or promoting, that is, an irreverence towards God. Yeah. Well, look what they were doing. They were, he said in verse 19, to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live. They were polluting God in the eyes of God's people. The pollute, the word pollute. In the context, it means to make irreverent towards God without due regard to God's authority and His holiness. The word pollute means, oh, you're going to like this. It means water down. When you pollute something, you water it down. Yeah. So their view of God was watered down, wasn't it? Yeah. These prophets were taking a watered-down approach to God. They were mixing God with the world's rituals, and it sounded good. It looked good. I mean, everything seemed to be mixing right, and the people liked it, but it wasn't the full truth. It wasn't from God. It was watered down, and it's developed. Listen, we saw this in the first part of chapter 13. It's developed from a watered-down approach to the preaching of God's word. It develops into watered-down ministry, and then in the end, when we're ministering like this, and we're bringing the world in to minister to God's people, what it does is it develops into the people of God a watered-down view of God every time. And God is directly opposed to this kind of ministry. God is against it. He's against ministry that produces watered-down view of Him. That just makes sense, doesn't it? That God would be against ministries that produce watered-down views of Him. Yeah. It starts with the watered-down preaching. We got to be sure we say what God said. Yeah. I got to do this quick, but I want to show you something. You were wondering why this table. I'm not going to do a magic trick for you, okay? Brother Chuck did all that stuff. Okay, so let's see. We've got the Bible. And for the Bible, we're going to put pure apple juice. It does have sugar in it. It's light, though. Not as much sugar. Amen. You like apple juice? I do. Okay. This is what our church needs, isn't it? The Bible. Let's see here. And so, for our church, whenever we have a pastor, you need to thank God for a pastor. And it's not because it's me. You need to thank God for a pastor who preaches you the Bible. You just need to. Praise God for a pastor that tells us the truth. Because when you watch this, when you have a pastor that preaches the Bible, let me go on this side. At church, which is why we need to go to church, by the way, and the Bible is preached at church, then what we have is the pure Word of God flowing into the church. And as the Word of God, when you and I are faithful to church, it flows into you and me, doesn't it? Because we go to church. This is my view of God. It's right. It's pure. It's not watered down at all. My view of God is right when we get the preaching right. Right? However, there are some ministries, right, that aren't so interested in doing the Word of God right. And we call this the world. Isn't it cool? It has a mohawk. You're trying to figure out what that was. It's a mohawk. I saw one of these in real life the other day. It was looked just like this. It really did. It was a kid. World. The world is cool. We need to be cool too. So no longer is it good enough that we just get the Bible, is it? No, we need to bring the world in on it. The problem is, every time you bring the world in on your preaching, what happens in the church? What happens in the preaching? It gets watered down. And, you know, it still looks like apple juice. But in the end, here's why there's a real problem with this. Because you go to church that's watered down ministry, you're not getting it right. And then you consume this. But do you know what it affects? It affects your view of God. And the more watered down preaching you get, the more watered down ministry you get, the more watered down view you have of God. Yep. Every time. Let me read to you a couple quotes. We'll be done. There's a contemporary Christian movement going on. Listen close now. There's a contemporary Christian movement that's been going on for a long, long time. I'm going to give you their manifesto, okay? And there is no secret about this manifesto. No secret. You can look into it. Go ahead. The manifesto is this. Be like the world to reach the world. Roaring Lambs was a book, it's called A Gentle Plan to Radically Change Your World, and it was written by a man named Bob Briner. The introduction was written by Michael W. Smith. His book has been designed to promote the idea of being like the world to reach the world, and it's promoted widely by many musicians, including Jars of Clay, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Sixpence, None the Richer, Steve Taylor, Michael Tate of DC Talk and Delirious, and a host of other names. I could just go on and on. It promotes the idea of being like the world to reach or win the world. Briner suggests, for example, that Christians should have the goal of seeing our sons and daughters become the principal dancers in ballet companies instead of looking upon such things as wrong or immoral. Briner continues, instead of just hanging around the fringes of our culture, we need to be right smack dab in the middle of it. What I'm calling for is a radically different way of thinking about our world. Instead of running from it, we need to rush into it. This is a direct quote right out of his book, okay? And instead of just hanging around the fringes of our culture, we need to be right smack dab in the middle of it. And so let me qualify a couple things for you before we finish this morning. We need to reach the world. Amen? We need to reach the world. But we don't and we cannot be like the world to win them. We can't. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate." Hey, it doesn't mean that God wants us to be weird and sort of live on a colony somewhere. No, He wants us to reach people, but to win people, we win them. We win them with the preaching. We win them with the Word of God. We preach it straight. We say it like it is. We don't be like them to win them. We preach the Word of God. Here, listen, this is what God wants us to do. God just wants us to say what He said. Just say what He said. Don't water it down. Just say what He said. Don't bring the world in on it. We don't need the world. It's not going to help. God is against that. I hope we've established that. So we don't need it. You say, "Pastor, well, you know, what then we need to do?" We just need to say what He said. We need to appreciate Bible preaching and teaching. We need to be here to hear Bible preaching and teaching. And we need to be faithful. We need to be in church. Every time the doors are open, we need to be here so we can get the Word of God, so we can learn the truths from God's Word, that we might reach people, that we might be faithful to things that God wants us to be faithful to. But we don't need that stuff. We don't need to fight against it. We just don't need it. We don't need to be promoting it or be a part of it because God is against it. So what does God want us to do? Just say what He said. He doesn't want us to be like the world to reach the world. We don't need a worldly approach. We just need to say what He said. You know what? It still works, doesn't it? Brother Corey, it works, doesn't it? Amen. Just said what He said. Miss Tracy, it works, doesn't it? Yeah. Miss Pam? It works. We don't need it. We don't need the world. Hey, listen, don't let anybody or anything out there try to convince you that we need the world. We don't need it. We're just going to preach it. We're going to say what He said, and that's enough. And I hope you're okay with that, because that's what we're going to do. Let's have prayer together. Father, thank You so much, so much, so much for Your Word. And this morning, I hope that You have helped us to see that there's a culture associated with the world that You're against. And no matter how it manifests itself, Lord, there's a system out there that has rejected You. And certainly, God, we don't want to bring that system in to minister to Your people. So I pray You'll help us to have faith that Your Word still works, and it's all we need. We'll give You glory, and we thank You in Jesus' holy name. Amen.